Welcome to Capital Baptist Church, and welcome to our current teaching series entitled Love Out Loud. Please take your Bible and turn to what is the love chapter of the Bible, 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And today we're going to be talking about something really significant, and that is forgiveness. And we're going to learn that part of loving out loud is the fact that love is forgiving. And so please take your Bible and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. If you're in the auditorium, look in your program. And in your program is a study guide of our message for today. And I want you to take that out and plan to use it. If you're listening online today, I want to thank you for listening. And I want to welcome you to this message. And you too can download the study guide and have it available to you. Well, today as we talk about love out loud, say love out loud. When we talk about loving out loud, part of that is forgiveness. And that's what we're going to learn about today. And the bottom line is you're going to need this message. Because as we go through life, people bless us, but people also bruise us, don't they? I mean, people bless us. I mean, it's a wonderful thing to have people in your life. And truly, I believe the greatest blessing of life is the people in your life. But also people, and can be some of those same people or different people, can bruise us. People can hurt us. And part of what we're going to learn today is that loving out loud means that you are willing to forgive the people that bruise you. Now, this is particularly important when you think about our theme verse for this study, which is Romans 13:8. In the introduction of our study guide, it says, to love one another. Circle those three words, love one another. For he who loves another, circle those two words, loves another, has fulfilled the law. Now I ask you to circle three words, love one another, and two words, loves another. Now notice it talks about the fact that we owe it to each other to love. In fact, the Bible says you haven't fulfilled the law of love until you are at a point of loving everyone. Now, it breaks down two different categories of people. The first category is to love one another. Now, what's significant about that statement is it's talking about people that are the same as you. Homogeneous. That's kind of the idea of one another. The same is what that means, the same. These are people like you. They think like you. They act like you. They enjoy the same things you do. I mean, you're very compatible. You get along very well with these people. And thank God there are people in our lives like that. And the bottom line is we need to love them. They need to be loved as well. We can't overlook them. We can't forget about them. We need to constantly pour into them, fill up their love tank as often as possible. But the truth is those people are a bit easier to love. And then there's a different category, and this is the category that's described as another. Now, these are people that are outside of our comfort range. These are people that are another to us, meaning they are different from us. These are two hugely different concepts of love. These are the people that really irritate us. These are the people that we have great difficulty loving. These are the people that we don't think the same as them. We don't act the same as them. I mean, we see the world totally different from them, and they literally irritate us to the core. They are a, do not look at them, please. They are another, okay? They are another. They are not the same as us. But the Bible says you haven't loved out loud until you can love that person. Now, in context today, another includes the people that have bruised us, the people that have hurt us. The Bible says we haven't loved another. We haven't loved and fulfilled the law of love until we can love the people that have hurt us, the people that have bruised us. That's a whole different story, isn't it? And so today we're going to get down to a level of loving out loud that we haven't gone to so far in this passage. But the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5, the last part, thinks no evil. Thinks no evil. Now what that literally means is to keep a list of wrongs. You think about evil. You think about what the person has done to you. You think about ways to get back at the person. You think evil against that person. You keep a list. You know their wrongs. You know the things they've done to injure you, the things they've done to hurt you. What the Bible says is loving out loud means and requires the fact that you were able to love this person in the sense of what verse 5 tells us here, that you think no evil. You think no evil. You are willing to forgive that person. And so that's what we're going to talk about. But as we do that, let's realize how important this is, this topic we're dealing with of loving out loud. Because the Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians 13 that love is what matters most to God. In fact, it says if you don't live a life of love, nothing you say will matter. 1 Corinthians 13:1 tells us, boy, you can speak. I mean, you can be the most awesome speaker in the world. But if you don't love, then listen, you're just making a big, loud noise. I mean, you're doing basically nothing, okay? You're not loving out loud. You're just loud, okay? I mean, you're just useless, it says. And then also, if you don't live a life of love, nothing you know will matter. It says you can be the most intelligent person in the world. I mean, you can have the gift of prophecy. You can understand all the mysteries, all the knowledge. I mean, wow, you can just be so smart and have so much intelligence. But if you do not have love, the Bible says it is a big, fat zero. I am nothing. And then also, if you don't live a life of love, nothing you believe will matter. I mean, it says you can have mountain-moving faith. I mean, you can move mountains. I mean, you can trust God to the greatest degree. But if you don't have love, you get a big, fat zero. It accomplishes nothing. Nothing you give will matter. Think about this. This to me is so incredible. It says you can take all your goods and you can take them and you can bestow them to feed the poor. What does that mean? That means you can liquidate everything you got. You can say, here you go, Pastor. Let's help some poor people. Here's my house, you know, if you have a house. Here's my car. Here's my jewelry. Here's my bank account. Here's everything. I'm going to bestow it, all of it. Every bit. It says all of it, right? All. But if you don't do that out of love, you know what that gets you? Nothing, okay? Zero. Absolutely zero. See, the motive of giving is important. I tell people the amount is important. You need to get tithes, offerings. God talks about amounts. He talks about numbers. He talks about percentages in the Bible. Amount is important, but attitude is important too, okay? The attitude by which you give is also important. And then look at this. Nothing you sacrifice will matter. I mean, you can be what we call a martyr for Jesus. Today we're going to look at a martyr. His name was Stephen. Stephen was a martyr. That means he gave his life for Christ. He was killed for Jesus. And you can be a Stephen. You can be murdered for Jesus, it says. You can give your body to be burned. But listen, if you don't do it out of love, it profits nothing. Nothing. Folks, we need to pay attention to that because we're talking about what is a priority to God. I didn't make it a priority. The Bible makes it a priority. God says, the Bible is clear that love is the supreme value of life. 1 Corinthians 13:13, and now abide faith, hope, and love, these three, but the greatest of these is what? Love. God made the priority. I didn't make the priority. Don't get upset with me. I mean, if you'd asked me, I might have put faith at the top. I don't know what I would have put at the top. You don't either. Don't act like you do. You don't know, okay? You don't know. But, I mean, if God came into me, okay, Steve Reynolds, tell me, is faith more important or is hope more important? Is love more important? I mean, I'm not sure what I would have said. But it doesn't matter what I got to say. God told us at the top of the list is loving out loud. Let's go to Matthew chapter 18. Let's turn to page 2 of our notes. As today we talk about how to be a forgiving person. How to be a forgiving person. So today we're going to be looking here in Matthew chapter 18. Before we get into this text today, we're going to have a forgiveness testimony. I'm so happy to have Harry and Rita Moritz here today. They were members of our church who moved out of the area about a decade ago. And we stayed connected through the years through different means, including Facebook. Harry and Rita have raised up an awesome ministry called Precious Prodigal. And I tell you, I believe God is already using this in a great way. He's going to use it in an even a greater way. Because one of the things that breaks our hearts the most is when our children do not serve God. Or when our grandchildren do not serve God. When we have prodigal children, prodigal grandchildren, it breaks our hearts. And she's taken her own life experience, and God's given them a ministry to serve God in this area. And I asked her to come and just talk about forgiveness in light of all that, because that's a hard situation, isn't it? When your own flesh and blood doesn't take on the values you have and serve God, that can be very, very difficult. So Rita's going to come and share with us today. She's also got a book that she's got her book written called Precious Prodigal that's still trying to get published. But she's also got a book of poems out there. And you want to go by and check that out and get a copy of that. So let's welcome Rita as she comes, okay?
Good morning. He didn't know I was going to get up here and preach. No, I'm not. It is such a privilege to be here at Capital Baptist Church. Harry trusted Christ kneeling at this altar right here. His Pastor Steve prayed with him, and he received the Lord as his Savior. He was baptized in this baptistry back here. And Harry has consistently lived for the Lord and been on fire for the Lord since the day he trusted Christ. And that's just amazing. We do have a ministry. It's called Precious Prodigal. And when I share about Precious Prodigal, and especially here in this church with this pastor, I have to remind you what I know all the time, and that is that there's nothing special about Harry, and there's nothing special about me. We're just sinners saved by grace. And Wally Beebe, who won me to Christ many years ago, used to tell me, God's so hard up, he'll even use you. And you know that's true. God is so hard up, he'll even use me. And he has used me in an incredibly mighty way. But he's done it by reminding me I'm just one beggar telling another beggar where to find bread. And forgiveness continues to be a challenge for me because I still have prodigals. But I am determined. I have, as long as I have breath in my body, as long as my hands can touch a keyboard, I'm going to write about our great God that can do miraculous things. And among the miraculous things that he can do is he can forgive the unforgivable through me. He certainly has forgiven me. I was talking to somebody about my ministry, and she said to me, it was a mother, and she said, what's the name of your ministry again? And I said, it's Precious Prodigal. And she said, well, my prodigal doesn't feel very precious to me right now. Isn't that sad? Because it's not the prodigal who's got the problem there. It's the mom that's got the problem. And I dare not take someone to the woodshed, to God's woodshed, lest I'm afraid to do it because I'm pretty sure I'd find God waiting there for both of us. It's not my job to change another person. It's my job to love another person. We were members of this church. I guess we've been gone now almost 10 years. It doesn't seem like it. It didn't seem like it when we walked through the door, but it has been that long. And during the time that we were here, I've seen some familiar faces, so some of you already know this. We had custody of two of our grandchildren, Anna and Ian, and Ian had leukemia. And during that time, we didn't know whether he was going to live or die. I had a lot to be angry about. Harry and I had to take a crash course on leukemia, and we learned what it meant to be neutropenic and how to give Neupogen shots, which hurt like the very dickens in the little guy's leg, to sit in isolation with him at the hospital. And I may have been the angriest person that ever belonged to this church. Harry and I were teaching a series in the small groups during discipleship training, and that series was called, it was all on relationships, it was called Who Am I, God? Brother Steve was preaching a series then on forgiveness, too, because guess what? It just keeps coming back until you deal with it. My heart was just broken by the preaching and by the conviction of the Holy Spirit that I had such bitterness in my heart. And so we called and we made an appointment to come in and talk with Brother Steve. We got here before he did, and we met in this conference room right outside the foyer. And it's kind of a big conference room. And Harry is much more laid back than I am. We went in and he sat down on the corner of the table and I was pacing back and forth like the A-type personality that I am. And when Brother Steve walked into the room, he saw Harry sitting there and I was standing over there and he was about as hard to read as a Marvel comic book. He thought, Oh, my soul. And I've got them teaching on relationships. And I looked up and I saw him and I said, oh, no, 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 we're okay. This is good. But we do have a problem. And I said to him, what does it mean to forgive? He thought about it and he said, you know, and now you must be talking about Teresa, and I was. And he said, you know, Rita, forgiveness does not mean that you don't hold a person accountable. It doesn't mean that you don't make them pay back the money that they have stolen. It doesn't mean that you continue to enable them. It doesn't mean that at all. But you have to forgive or you're going to get sick. And I remember so vividly his saying this. Every time you feel that bitterness come back, because I'm a great list maker, I have lists of my lists. And sometimes those lists are every single thing that that person did to hurt me from 25 years back up until today. I can't keep that list if I'm going to have the joy, the peace, the serenity, and the blessing of God in my life that I absolutely have to have. And I remember his saying, every time you feel that bitterness crop up, get down on your knees and ask God to remove it. And one of the things I loved about Capital, and I still do, is Brother Steve always gave us something on Sunday that we could take home and use on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and Friday. And we did. He said, but I sense that forgiveness isn't necessarily the problem. I sense that you want there to be a relationship there, and you can't make that happen. And can I just challenge you by saying that if your purpose in forgiving is to fix that relationship, it's not a worthy motive. You need to forgive. I need to forgive because that's what God told us to do. And obedience is enough. It has to be enough. And if you want that peace, if you want that serenity, that's the way it's got to be. We have had an opportunity to apply that truth that he gave us because he said it takes one healthy person to forgive. It takes two healthy people to have a relationship. And you can't force a relationship to happen. That was like, I don't remember what day of the week it was, but like within a day or two, we received a letter that came through our lawyer. The kids were now home, and they wanted us to forgive a debt of about $3,000 or $4,000. And actually, they didn't even really ask us to forgive it, but they wanted to be able to pay it over a period of 2 years. And I walked around in the yard praying about this, and I walked inside, and I said to Harry, Harry, do you really want to do this for 2 more years? And he said, you know, I don't want to do this for 2 more minutes. So we prayed together, and then we composed a letter. And he doesn't type, so I typed it. Officially forgiving the debt. We had it notarized, and we went to the post office, the Merrifield post office, which is impossible to find now that we have come back. I don't know where y'all hid it. We went to the Merrifield post office to mail it. We put it in the box, and when that door slammed on it, I felt like the weight of the world had been lifted off my shoulders. They hadn't changed. Did they still owe the debt? In a sense, I guess that they did, but they didn't owe it to me. And that's what forgiveness was about. It's what it was about then. It's what it's about today. I do have a wonderful ministry that God is using, Precious Prodigal. God is all over that ministry. But he reminds me all the time that I can't tell you how to have peace and joy and serenity if I don't have it myself. And I can't have it unless I'm willing to forgive. Thank you for letting me share with your folks for this day.
Thank you, Rita. Love out loud. Love is forgiving. Today we're going to look at a passage in the scripture that can help us. And if you ask me, I just had this thought standing in the first service day, and maybe I'll do it as a series. Pastor, what are 10 passages you got to literally master to maximize your life? I mean, wouldn't that be a good series? Maybe one day I'll do that. You know what? I guarantee you this passage would be on the list. You cannot go through life and live the life that God has for you without totally understanding and embracing the words we're going to look at today in Matthew chapter 18. It is an incredible passage of scripture that clearly teaches us how to be a forgiving person. And this is Jesus in a conversation he had when the question was asked him about forgiveness. And I just want you to notice at the end where it says in verse 35, it says in that passage, Jesus mentions the fact that we need to learn what it is to forgive from the heart. It says, so my heavenly Father also will do to you if each of you from his heart does not forgive his brother his trespasses. Today we want to go real deep in our lives. We want to learn what it is to forgive from the heart. I mean, many of us have heard messages about this. Many of us have heard teaching about this. This is not something new for a lot of us. But what is it to forgive from the heart? I mean, that's what Jesus is teaching you. Jesus is talking about how to make it real in your life, how to make it genuine in your life, how to love out loud when it comes to forgiving the people that bruise you. Again, people bring you your greatest blessing, but they also bring you your greatest bruises in life. And so it begins with a question, and it's a question you've probably asked yourself from time to time, and that is, how many times do I have to keep on forgiving? You ever felt like that? You ever come to the point where you're just so frustrated or whatever, and you get to the point where you just say, listen, how many times have I got to forgive these people? You might be talking about people in general. You might be talking about a particular person. But all of us have thought about that, right? Like, I mean, how many times? And that's where this passage begins. Number one, if you want to be a forgiving person, you got to know the regularity of forgiveness. Because it was Peter who came to the Lord, and he actually asked the Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? He asked Jesus that question. How many times have I got to forgive the person that hurts me? And he, like Peter, didn't stop and wait for an answer. Big mouth Peter gave another comment. He says, up to seven times? Up to seven times? Wow. And Jesus answered that question and said to him, I do not say to you up to seven times, but up to 70 times seven. How often do you have to forgive? Well, the Bible teaches us that forgiveness has to be a lifestyle. It has to be a lifestyle. It's something you got to learn to do over and over again. And you know, it's interesting to know when people have a lifestyle of forgiveness, you can see it in their life. And when people have a lifestyle of bitterness, you can see that too. You know, you need to understand, if somebody's bitter at you, I guarantee you they got a whole list of people. That's why, honestly, I don't ever take it personal, because I know that I'm one of probably 100 people. Because bitterness is a lifestyle. There are people, they get bruised, they never learn the lifestyle of forgiveness, and they go through life with the hurt, and they go through the life without forgiveness, and they turn into bitter people because they have a lifestyle of bitterness. And you know what? The longer you live, the more baggage you pick up in life. Did you know that? The longer you live your life, the longer you're on this earth, the more and more bad things happen to you, okay? The more people that harm you, the more people that hurt you, the more people that bruise you. And so you have to understand what Jesus is teaching here is that it's a lifestyle. Because Jewish law taught you had to forgive three times. If they were to ask the Pharisees this question, they would have said three times. Three times. Peter's law taught you had to forgive seven times. Now, I can't be for sure, but in my mind, when I think about this passage, I think that Peter's probably trying to impress Jesus. He probably thinking, okay, I'm not going to say three, I'm going to say seven. So in his mind, he's thinking, I'm going to double it plus one. I mean, Jesus is going to respond back and say, Peter, you are a spiritual giant. I mean, you have doubled it and you've added even one. I am so proud of you, Peter. You were just such an incredible forgiver. Is that what Jesus did? No, Jesus said this. Jesus said you got to forgive an unlimited number of times. He did not mean 490 times. 70 times 7. Okay? What he meant was you just got to keep on keeping on. You got to, not just 7, 70 times 7. You just got to keep on forgiving. It's got to be your lifestyle. Why? Why does Jesus want you to keep on forgiving? Because Jesus came to give us an abundant life. And bitterness takes away from our quality of life. See, forgiveness is about you. Okay, it's about you enjoying your life. It's about you maximizing your life. And Jesus came to give you an abundant life. The enemy, on the other hand, comes to, listen, he comes to steal, he comes to kill, he comes to destroy. And one of the greatest techniques he uses is bitterness. Because bitterness, listen, steals from you. It steals your joy. It steals your happiness. It can kill you. Go home and Google bitterness and diseases. See what comes up. Okay, I'm not a medical doctor, okay, I'm not a physician, but I can tell you, you do some research on that thing, you're going to find out, hey, there's a direct link. Because your body was never designed to house bitterness. You were not built by God to add bitterness. It's like putting poison in your body, and it will kill you, okay? It will take your health, okay? It will rob you of your life. And then also Jesus said, the enemy wants to destroy you. He wants to destroy you. He wants to mess up your life. He wants to totally mess up your life. And I'm telling you, so many people are destroyed. I mean, so many people are they're miserable. They're just negative. They have a victim mentality. Woe is me. My life is so bad. You know, whatever. I mean, listen, folks, we have to understand what the enemy is doing to us. And forgiveness, are you going to let them keep doing this to you? I mean, the jerk abused you. He ruined a day in your life and a period in your life. Don't let them keep ruining your life, okay? It's all about not giving them the right to keep on hurting you, okay? Because God has something more in store for you, okay? Forgiveness is a lifestyle. Do you have that lifestyle? And then forgiveness is a choice. It's a choice. It's a decision. You have to make a decision. Listen, and it's not based on emotion. It's an act of the will. You're never going to feel like forgiving somebody. Did you know that? Because when people hurt you, you don't feel good about that. When people bruise you, it hurts. It hurts real bad. And you're never going to come to a point emotionally where you want to forgive. I think about Stephen. I mentioned him earlier, Acts chapter 7. He was the first, what we call, martyr in the New Testament. He was the first one in the New Testament who gave his life for Jesus. And he began to preach for Jesus. And they told him, you need to be quiet. But he wouldn't be quiet. And the Bible tells us how they literally took stones and they stoned him to death. They literally took rocks and stoned him to death. And as he is taking his final breath of life, the Bible says he knelt down. He cried out with a loud voice. He said, Lord, do not charge them with this sin. And when he had said this, he fell asleep, meaning he passed from this earth to heaven. And the Bible says, like Jesus, where did he get this from? This statement came from one of the seven statements Jesus made on the cross. What did Jesus say? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And Stephen modeled Jesus when he said, do not charge them with this sin. Do not charge them with this sin. Do you think Stephen felt like that? They are literally pelting him with stones. I mean, they are literally just a crowd is gathered around him. And believe me, in the Middle East, I mean, when you know, it says to turn these stones to bread, I'm telling you, there would have been lots of bread, okay? If you've ever been to Israel, there's rocks everywhere. I'm talking about they're everywhere, all sizes, all shapes of rocks. I mean, they were readily available, and they were just pounding him to death. How did he do that? It was a choice. It was a choice. He had to choose it. He had to choose it. And the regularity of forgiveness is a lifestyle where you make an ongoing choice to forgive the people that bruise you. And the reason it's going to have to be ongoing is there's never going to come a time in your life when people don't hurt you. Okay? You're never going to have a season of your life ever you live where there's not going to be periods where people don't hurt you. Okay? I hate to tell you that, but it's true, okay? It's true. And so you got to learn, if you're going to love out loud, you got to learn the regularity of forgiveness. Number two, the example of forgiveness. If you're going to love out loud through forgiveness, you got to know there's an example. And that example is God himself. Colossians 3:13 says, bearing with one another, forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint or a quarrel against another, even as Christ forgave you. Underline that. Even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. If you said, Pastor, what's the secret to forgiveness? What's the one thing that can help you the most to forgive? I say to you, the cross. It's the cross that Jesus died on. It was the fact that God himself was willing to give his son to suffer for your sin and mine, that we might have an eternal relationship with him through faith in Jesus Christ, turning from our sin and trusting in Christ as Savior and Lord. And we're told to look, when we've got a situation of forgiveness, when we got a complaint or a quarrel against somebody, the Bible says, our secret, our model is this. Even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. Even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. And Jesus launches into an incredible story here to help us understand this. Number one, we see the poverty of man. The poverty of man. In verse 23 and 24, Jesus begins to paint a picture. And he says, this is what the kingdom of heaven is like. This is what godly values are like. This is living for God, the kingdom of heaven. And he gives this image. He said, hey, there was this king. Okay, Jesus is telling stories here, okay? And here he breaks into this story. He said, hey, there was this king here, okay? And this king had some servants that owed him some money, okay? And it points out the fact that the first one here owed 10,000 talents, which would be equal today to about $50 million. And the Bible tells us here how that individual came to the master and asked for mercy and asked for forgiveness. And the Bible tells us how that master was willing to forgive this $50 million debt. And what that is, my friend, that's a picture of our sin and our debt. The Bible says because of our sin, we have a debt that we cannot pay. Isaiah 64:6 tells us that we're all like an unclean thing. Circle the word all. And all, circle the word all, our righteousness. What's our righteousness like before a holy God? It's like filthy rags. Meaning you cannot do right things to try to earn your way to heaven. We all, circle the word all, three times, all fade as a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away. We have a debt that we cannot pay. It's a $50 million debt before God. We cannot pay it. That's our sin. And the second thing we see here is the penalty of sin. How that the Bible says the wage of our sin is death, which means eternal separation from God in hell, the lake of fire. And that's the penalty of our sin. And this man had a penalty that was deserving. He owed $50 million that he could not pay. But yet we see the pardon of God. And the Bible tells us in verse 26 and 27 how that this servant went to the master and he begged with him and he pleaded with him to be forgiven of the debt, to have some patience granted to him. And the Bible tells us in verse 27, then the master of that servant was moved with compassion. He released him and forgave him the debt. And what that is, that verse 27 is a clear, vivid statement of what God has done for us. This is all about God. This is all about salvation. This is about all of what God has done for us. We had a debt we could not pay. It was sin. The payment that was demanded was hell, and yet Jesus was willing to pay for that. In fact, 1 Peter 3:18, top of page 3, talks about this. Let's read that out loud together. I want us to read the verse at the top of page 3 under the pardon of God. I want us to say it real loud and clear together. Ready? Here we go. For Christ also suffered once for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. Being put to death in the flesh, but made alive by the Spirit. Boy, what an unbelievable verse. Notice that part of forgiveness is dealing with your own suffering. You know, part of forgiveness is a journey of suffering, right? And for us to have forgiveness, suffering took place. And it was Jesus that was willing to suffer for our sins. He was the just one. We were the unjust ones. And this was all about reconciliation. This was all about bringing us to God. This was all about leading us to heaven. And the Bible tells us, don't ever forget, going back to the earlier verse, Colossians 3:13, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. Let me read it again. Even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. How are you going to forgive people in your life? You got to remember the example of forgiveness. You got to remember your own forgiveness by God. And then thirdly, the act of forgiveness. People will ask, what is forgiveness? Well, the Bible teaches us what is forgiveness. And we're going to learn about it by seeing a negative example, which is bitterness. The opposite of forgiveness is bitterness. Now, here's a person that owed $50 million. He could not pay. He was released of the debt. He was forgiven for the debt. And you know what this guy did? He went out from the king and he went and he found somebody that owed him what would be equivalent for us to $50. 50 bucks. Now, isn't this so true? Isn't this true of Christians? We're going to gather in church today. We're going to sing about Jesus, talk about Jesus, pray about to Jesus. We're going to hear about Jesus preach. You know, we're all, hallelujah, man, I'm forgiven. You know, we have fun. And then we walk out of here, man, and here we go. We're looking for all these $50 debts. This is so typical of all of us. And he went out, and he found this person owed him $50. And the guy said, listen, I'll pay you. I just need some time. Please, you know, please help me. And what did he do? Man, he did just the opposite of what had been done for him, didn't he? He said, you owe me. You owe me. If you have to sell your wife, pay me. If you have to sell your kids, pay me. Whatever you got to do, you're going to pay. And that is bitterness. That is bitterness. Now, what is forgiveness? Out of that illustration, let's flip it over and let's learn the act of forgiveness. The act of forgiveness, number one, is releasing someone from a debt that was caused by their offensive actions towards you. It is releasing someone from a debt that was caused by their offensive actions towards you. I mean, verse 27 is so clear. It says, and the master of that servant was moved with compassion, released him, and forgave him the debt. You see, when you get bitter towards a person, you put them in what's called debtor's prison. You lock them down. As far as you're concerned, they're behind bars. And you've got them behind bars and you say, you hurt me and you're going to pay for this. You keep, 1 Corinthians 13, you keep a list of evil. Okay, 1 Corinthians 13 says love doesn't keep a list. You keep a list. Okay, you got a list made up. You know every hurt, you know everything they ever did to you. And you got it all right there. And you got them locked down. Some of these people are dead. Some of these people are on the other side of the world, of the country. Some of these people are, you don't even know where they are today. Okay, but you got them locked down. And what is forgiveness? Forgiveness is taking the key, which I believe is shaped like a cross. The cross that Jesus died on. And it's using that key of the cross and opening that prison cell and saying, you're forgiven. You're forgiven. And that's exactly what Jesus did for us, Colossians 2:13 through 14. But it's not just releasing someone from a debt. Secondly, it's surrendering your right to hurt those who've hurt you. It's when you surrender that right. Now, one of the biggest things people struggle with is the whole idea that they're going to get away with it. Let's be real now, okay? A lot of our problem is we think they're going to get away with it. And we don't want them to get away with it. And we think, okay, you know, they hurt me, they're going to have to pay a price. Well, you say, what do I do with that? Well, I think verse 19 of Romans 12 answers that question. It says, beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. Does the Bible say that just totally get rid of your wrath, your anger towards the person? No, the Bible doesn't say that at all. Okay. What the Bible says is you shift your wrath to someone else. And you know who that is? That's God. You know how I think about it? I think about job description. You ever had a job description? Okay. I got a job description. There's certain things I need to do around here. Okay. It's my job. Okay. It's my responsibility. That's why I'm here. Okay. And when you go down your list of life and your job description, you know what's not on your list? Vengeance. Nowhere on your duties of life is to ever hurt somebody back that hurts you. It's not there. Okay. But it is on a job description. You know whose job description it is? God. 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 And what you do is you take your anger and you shift your anger and you give it to a God who is perfect, who's merciful, who's loving, who's all-knowing, who's all-powerful, who says, I will repay. I will repay. Who do you need to release today? Who do you need to release today? What debt have you been holding on to that somebody owes you? And what do you need to surrender today? What hurt do you need to surrender today? And will you do it? And then lastly, as we close, the test of forgiveness. We started out talking about forgive from the heart. Forgive from the heart. Forgiveness from the heart means to be sincere. Matthew 15:18 talks about a disconnect between your mouth and what you say and your heart. And we can talk real loud about forgiveness. It's a primary value that we have in the church, right? And we can say it with our lips, but is it from our heart? Is it sincere? As we wrap up, the test of sincerity is a willingness to make a commitment. Here it is, not to raise the issue again. I believe the litmus test of when you have forgiven is when you do not raise the issue again. Psalm 32:1 says, blessed is he or happy is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Circle the words covered. I'd love to hear you talk about in your small group, okay? Particularly you that did your growth guide, okay? And heard the message. It'd be some very, because this is messy. You know, relationships are messy. Do you understand that? They are real messy. They are not simplistic. That's for sure, okay? But here's some things to consider. Number one, not dwelling on it yourself. One of the biggest people struggle with is the whole idea of forgive and forget. We've all heard that before. Forgive and forget. And one of the most common questions is, you know, if I forgive this person, is it necessary for me to forget what happened? Okay, my answer is so important, I wrote the whole answer down, okay? Do I have to forget in order to forgive? People often say, if you didn't forget about the incident, then you really didn't forgive the person. This simply is not true. Once forgiveness is granted, reoccurring thoughts about the episode probably will occur. When this happens, we must not, and here's the key word, dwell on them. Circle that word, dwell. Dwell on the past. But replace this ungodly thought from our flesh with a godly thought from our Bible. 2 Corinthians 10:5 talks about bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Man, people have done stuff to me that I will never forget. Do you understand that? I will never forget. Why? Because I got a brain, okay? Do you have a brain? I mean, I don't have much of a brain. I'm not as smart as Chris Nannigan, but I got a brain, okay? You know, I got a lot of things I remember, man. I can tell you all kinds of stuff I remember. I remember the good. I remember the bad. I remember the blessings of people. I remember the bruises of people, okay? It'd be nice for me to get all that out of my brain. I wish I could, okay? But I can't. But the question is, not whether it goes through my brain, it's whether it stays in my brain. Big difference. I don't believe it's a sin that it goes through your brain. I believe it's a sin if you keep it in your brain. And that's where the whole idea of dwelling comes from, okay? Don't let it dwell. Don't let it stay. Take some of these verses, one or two of them, Ephesians 4:32, be ye kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. How many hundreds of times have I repeated that verse, which is at the end of our study guide today, Ephesians 4:32. Be kind, be tenderhearted, be forgiving, even as God, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. Wow. Wow. I'm not going to let you mess up my life. Do you understand that? Do you understand that? Are we perfectly clear here? Okay. I got too much living to do to let you mess up my life. Okay. Anyway, moving forward here, okay? Number two is not bringing it up to the person. The Bible says you keep repeating the matter, it separates friends. You keep bringing it up over and over again. What are you going to do? Okay? And then not talking about it with others. Do not speak evil of one another. That includes a prayer list in your small group, okay? How much gossip goes on doing prayer sharing? A lot of it, I'll tell you that much, okay? So be careful with that stuff. Be careful, okay? Again, the secret to forgiveness, Ephesians 4:32, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. Wow. Folks, we've got to love out loud. Philemon 4 tells us in verse 5, I thank my God, making mention of you always in my prayers. And here it is, hearing of your what? Your love. Hearing of your love. Love out loud, it says. Let people hear about your love. Love out loud. Father, we do love you out loud and we praise you and thank you for what you're doing in our lives. And we praise you for your goodness to us. With every head bowed and every eye closed, I just want to ask you, has there ever been a time in your life when you accepted God's forgiveness through Jesus? Has there ever been a time in your life when you asked Christ to come into your heart, to be your Savior and your Lord? You have a sin debt you cannot pay. You cannot work your way to heaven. You can't earn your way to heaven. All your righteousness are like filthy rags. It's only through the blood of Jesus and his sacrifice on the cross that can pay for your sin debt. If there's never been a time in your life when you turn from your sin and put your trust in Christ, today would be a great day to do that. The Bible says, call on the Lord to be saved. Call on the Lord to be saved. And right now I invite you to call out to him and just pray something like this from your heart to his heart. It doesn't have to be these exact words, but in general, just tell him, dear God, I am a sinner in need of a Savior. I believe that Jesus died for me. I believe that Jesus rose from the grave to give me eternal life. Right now, I turn from my sin. I put my trust in Jesus as the way to heaven. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Take control of my life. Save me right now. If you prayed that prayer today, what a wonderful, wonderful thing. And that's where forgiveness begins, receiving God's forgiveness in your life. Today, who do you need to release from debtor's prison? What anger do you need to surrender to God? What anger do you need to give to God? It's a lifestyle. It's a lifestyle. It's a choice. It's a choice. Choose that lifestyle today. Thank you, Lord. Thank you so much for this time. May we not think evil. May we not keep a list, a bitter list, towards anyone. In Jesus' name, amen.